The gospel lesson is found on page 867 in your pew Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered together about the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him followed him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you give us this opportunity to come together as your people. We come to worship you, and we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us in such a way that we would indeed bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we also seek to hear your voice speaking to us through your word, to be encouraged by your voice, to be nourished by your sacrament. Father, use this time in those ways to build us up, so that we might serve you faithfully throughout all of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you have ever had to move from one city to another, you know one of the challenges of moving to a new place is learning your way around. Finding the grocery store and gas station are on the easier end of the spectrum, while finding things like a new dentist or a new doctor can be a lot more difficult. Asking around, you hear people explain why they like or don't like their own doctor. You try to make mental notes and take those things into consideration. But if someone says, "Oh, I have a great doctor," it tends to get your attention more fully, doesn't it? Rather than a mediocre one, we all prefer to have a great physician. For such a person, we are even willing to drive further or put up with other inconveniences because of the benefits. Some of you have heard me talk about one of my doctors, the neurologist I would see for my MS. He was based at Jefferson for a while, then later at Drexel in Philadelphia, and would only see patients on Thursdays because of his other responsibilities as chairman of neurology. Keeping appointments meant dealing with traffic on the Schuylkill, parking in Philly, and a big chunk of time out of the day. But he was a great doctor, and I benefited tremendously from his skills as a physician, as well as his demeanor as a person. And then he went and retired. But anyway, there's a simple fact about any and all physicians, however. They cannot help unwilling patients. This winter, it seems most everyone I know has been hit by some version of the winter crud to one extent or another. Some have needed more skilled care than others. That meant they had to go see their doctor for both the accurate diagnosis and the appropriate medication. I've heard them say things like, "I'm so glad I went to the doctor when I did." Because some have been unwilling to do so, they have suffered more than necessary. When finally dragged to the doctor, they received the help they needed. I hear those folks say things like, "I wish I had gone sooner." This morning, We are continuing our Epiphany season series, Jesus Revealed. Each week we have been learning more about Jesus, the Son of God, what that means about who he is, and what that means for our lives today. On today's lesson from the Gospel of Mark, three scenes or snapshots are set before us, which continue to fill out the revelation of Jesus, the Son of God, as the great physician. The first scene comes on the afternoon of the Sabbath that we heard about last week. Jesus and the disciples had just left the synagogue. The Capernaum Bob Evans wasn't open yet, so they headed back to Peter's house for Sabbath dinner. All of that was really pretty normal in their context. Once in the house, however, they encountered Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. While this doesn't explain more medical detail, we learn it was serious enough to keep her in bed. And it was disturbing enough for them to have some urgency in telling Jesus about her. The response of Jesus was direct. In verse 31, we read, "And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them." Jesus did not say, "Oh, fever, keep her away from me. I don't want to catch whatever she has." Jesus did not shout instructions from the living room. He dealt with her personally and directly at her point of need. And the healing he provided was thorough and sufficient, restoring her so she could live her life more fully. The simplicity of his actions demonstrate the power of Jesus. The same power we saw last week in the synagogue, we see demonstrated here. As the great physician, Jesus has the power to effect healing and restoration. It's interesting that the process described here includes the disciples telling Jesus about Peter's sick mother-in-law. And it had me thinking, what if they never mentioned her to Jesus? Would she have just laid sick in bed while they ate dinner and watched the football game in the other room? I mean, it was the Super Bowl after all. Would Jesus have known something was wrong and acted independently? What if she resisted Jesus when he came in, telling Peter, "Don't bring a rabbi in here. I don't want him to see me like this." Would she have ever recovered? Obviously, we don't know the answers to those hypothetical questions. What we do know is that they connected her to Jesus. And as a result, the sick woman was made well. As we connect people with Jesus, it provides them the opportunity to experience his healing power in their lives. What Jesus may or may not do is up to him. How people respond to Jesus is up to each of them. Our part is to do what we can to make the connection. Let me go on here. The second scene or snapshot comes after sunset, which marked the official end of the Sabbath day. The people of Capernaum came out of the woodwork to gather where Jesus was staying. It must have been quite a scene. I was thinking, imagine the guy living next door. Maybe he had missed the synagogue service earlier that day, and he's sitting in his recliner watching the game and starts hearing the crowd noise, looking out the front window, seeing people piling out of their donkey carts and streaming into Peter's house. He calls out, "Hey, Myrtle, there's something going on next door, and it's big. Did you forget to write something on the calendar?" If he didn't know, what must that have looked like? This was a big-time event in Capernaum. Word about Jesus had spread throughout town. People were drawn to him, bringing their physical, spiritual, and emotional needs to him for healing. As others have pointed out, the pattern of Jesus healing people that evening demonstrates that the guy in the synagogue and Peter's mother-in-law were not isolated incidents. Jesus came as the great physician to bring healing and restoration in the power of God. When I visit people who are sick or in the hospital, I typically spend time talking with them about their condition and the medical treatment they're receiving. As encouraged in other places in the Bible, we are to make appropriate use of medicines and other medical resources. The Lord can and does work through those means to effect healing. But I also take time to pray with folks in those visits and continue to pray for them afterward, bringing their needs, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual needs, bringing them before the Lord for His healing. It's one of the great privileges of my job to help connect people to Jesus, the great physician. Not just so they can get over a cold or even be moved to be better behaved. It is to help them come to know Jesus, the one in whom they will be saved. As Christians, that is something each of us can do for ourselves and for others. As Peter did, we start there, bringing the need to Jesus, who may effect healing directly by the exercise of His power, direct us to pursue help from doctors, or simply direct us to make a diet and exercise changes or other lifestyle changes which make a difference. To start with Jesus is not disregarding the benefits of modern medicine. Rather, it is drawing on the greater resources and power of the one behind all genuine healing. It is recognizing there are some needs that go beyond human resources and bringing them to the one whose resources are without limits, all the while responding to what He is calling on us to do in the process, even if it's simply driving the donkey cart. The third scene we have before us comes early the next morning. Verse 35, we read, "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there." Except for Jesus, most everyone else was still hitting the snooze button on their alarm. Jesus got up early to go off to a quiet place to pray. We aren't given a lot of explanation about what He prayed or why He did this. What is apparent is that this time of focused communication with the Father was important for Jesus. When the disciples tracked Him down and sought to impose their limited agenda on Jesus, He directed them to God's greater vision as He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." There were others too who needed what He had to offer as the great physician. Jesus never lost sight of why He came. In the midst of our busyness and fatigue, whether it's genuine or imagined, it is crucial for us to stay connected with God. Our lives are often filled, even overloaded, with things demanding our time, energy, and attention. We can easily get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent. It happens to me all the time. In the commotion of life, when we neglect our time with the Lord, we will be swamped by any number of these other things. We need to have time set apart for reading His Word and praying and listening to what He has for us. It goes far beyond time management techniques. It has to do with relationship. Rather than being consumed by our own agendas, we learn His vision for our lives. We come to know more deeply the healing and restoration He has provided us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And we become better equipped to share that with others. We come to more fully realize the reason we are here. Our weekday Bible study groups have just come to the end of our study of Mark's Gospel, each one at the same time, focused this past week on the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. One point of conversation included the abuse and ridicule hurled at Jesus as he was crucified. Challenging Jesus to come down from the cross, some were saying, "He saved others, he can't even save himself," kind of making fun of him in the process. As we discussed together, that was the whole point they were missing. It was precisely because Jesus did not save himself that he was able to save others. He came for that purpose. As the Son of God who came to be the Savior, Jesus shows himself to be the great physician who brings us God's ultimate healing and restoration. If you are here, you'll remember we sang it together last week. "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my dear Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." Knowing him, may we sing his praises in such a way that others come to know him too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. To see him is to see you. To know him is to know you. To trust him as our Savior is to be reconciled with you. Thank you for making that provision for us. Father, as we come to realize that more fully, help us see how you have touched our lives to bring healing and restoration in all different kinds of ways. As we recognize that, let that be part of our motivation to share with others so that they would come to know the same for themselves. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.